can make it here, you can make it anywhere.
In Toronto?
In Toronto, let's say. You know, Toronto, like, for example, bro, like, we don't believe in ourselves. Like, we believe we don't have the right resources, but we're, like, a world-class city. We have everything here, bro. We have access to the border. We have talent. We have, like, a top 20 university here in UFT.
But the laws and the actual economics for the business, for instance, the grants, the people, access to investors, is going to be different because they're going to be all in the States, all going to be in Palo Alto or in Atlanta right now, you know, maybe Texas. There's not a lot of people in comparison to Toronto, for sure, bro.
But bro, even Facebook.
Pause the music though.
Yeah. Oh, I was just bumping to the music in the background.
Mm-hmm.
But bro, even Facebook started in Boston.
Boston.
Right? So many companies started out of like, bro, the thing is you can't go and say value creation is in this place only.
It's not a value creation as in creating value for the audience, but it's the economics behind the business.
So, okay. So economics meaning like, okay, access to VCs, money, talent, and everything.
Yeah.
So that's where like going there to find access to talent and everything.
Exactly. You can serve anybody anywhere now, mm-hmm. you know, but do you think you're going to get the same access to the VCs, access to talent in Toronto as you would in Atlanta, in Texas, in LA?
Definitely not. Definitely not, bro. Definitely not. Because those places are like the hub. They're the hub of tech. They're the hub of innovation. That's where everybody, that's where all the greatest minds are at right now. Like if you're in AI, if you're in cryptocurrency, if you're in venture capital, if you're in whatever, that's where everybody's at. So it's, if you're going there, you're going to put yourself in a really good chance to find someone who could fund your business higher than if you were here. Not to say that you can't find that here, but the chances of you expediting that process in Atlanta or San Francisco are way higher than if you're in Toronto, for sure. So, but I just don't believe that I have to go there to start the whole process. I'm like, let's start in Toronto. Let's build here. Let's build our city up. Let's make our city into San Francisco. And it goes back, like, you know, being Kenyan and everything, we always have this idea like we have to go and get educated somewhere else. We have to go to America. We have to go to this other place to build ourselves up, then come back. I'm like, why don't we create that here and do it? Because you have everything beneath your feet. Just start digging and building, and people will come, oh, look at what they're building, let's go contribute to that. We're contributing to San Francisco being San Fran, but we can actually create Toronto. That's why Drake made Toronto.
But Drake popped in the States.
But Drake could have.
Love how you always get back to Drake.
But bro, he's like that. He's an anchor point for this kind of like conversation, because he consciously made the decision, I'm going to make this city the way we kind of make it seem like you have to go to America.
Sure. For sure.
Even it's in basketball too. Like, you don't have to go to the States anymore to get a scholarship.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Scouts are coming here now.
All right. So the game has changed a bit.
Yes.
You know, in terms of
yes.
where you can get people to come to. Because people specifically came to the city for talent, like mm-hmm. Drake, Tory Lanez, The Weeknd, they have created an anchor point where people can come here for the value.
Yes.
You know, and know that they're getting, you know, top quality talent that can compete in the States mm-hmm. because of the, you know, the nature of the competition here.
Yeah.
You know, so that does help, but is it the same thing in regards to other aspects? Like, is it the same thing when it comes to building an Instacart? So why do you think Instacart left then?
Give me some background on Instacart. Was Instacart started in Toronto?
Waterloo.
It was in Waterloo, then Waterloo. They go to San Francisco.
Yep.
Why did they leave Waterloo? And that's crazy they left Waterloo, because Waterloo's Waterloo.
It's a startup hub.
It's a startup hub, and that's like where Americans think that this is where, if you're going to go find Canadian talent, if you're going to go to Canada, this is where all innovation is happening.
Waterloo, Western, probably DMZ too.
DMZ, yeah. Damn, they left Waterloo? Wow.
But look, they're huge now. Everybody in America knows about Instacart.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? While you think about that, welcome back to another episode of Hustle Over Everything. Hello and welcome. This is the podcast where we receive stories, tips, and tactics from entrepreneurs who have done it. Today, we have an episode where we just chop it up, talk about current topics and events. So, Owen, what's good with you, bro? How you doing?
I am doing well. Not doing the greatest.
Okay.
You know, I had some, I have like a death just happened in the family, so we're going through that. You know, RIP to my Uncle Ken. I just want to say that to him. You know, he's one of my favorite uncles. Not that I don't like any other uncles, but, you know, just the character he had, the man he was, the, you know, just the energy he brought in every single day. And, you know, I think he is, you know, Mr. 24/7 Hustler. The way he built up his career from going from like the small parts of, you know, Kenya, like in the village where my dad and his siblings grew up, educating himself, becoming a professor, becoming a lecturer, getting into politics, becoming the Kenyan ambassador to Germany, becoming the chief of staff to the deputy president, right? His career trajectory has just been astronomical. And he's a major influencer. He's amazing. He's a major mover and shaker in Kenya. And it's still an ongoing thing that's being solved. But he passed away on Friday morning. And the details are still coming out on the death. But those are the things that's going on within the family. And as I reflect, I'm celebrating his life more than mourning it. I'm mourning it. But as I look back, I can't feel happy for the things that he did. You know, he taught me how to, like, you know, be a good person. He got me into golf by just watching him, like, just be passionate about the game. I got passionate about the game watching, like, you know, his how he loved his cars, his Mercedes and everything like that, and seeing them nicely lined up outside of the car, outside of the crib. He made me aspire for more. And I celebrate his life, and I cherish it, like, wholeheartedly. And it's a celebration of life. Like, when someone like that dies, it's like you only have good things to think about. So RIP, my condolences to everyone back home, my cousin Emmanuel, Bradley, Aunt Judy, and
my condolences to you, bro.
Yeah.
You know? Have you been able to process it a bit? Like, or is it still processing?
It's still processing, man. It's still processing. When something like that hits you, it's, you're still, for even just talking to my dad yesterday, he was, I've never heard my dad feel like that before. You know, that was like his younger brother, he was like big bro to him, and they had such a close relationship. So just hearing my dad, and my dad's had like a rough past year, just with like the whole COVID stuff and everything like that, and just him dealing with this now to end the year. Now he's gonna like process this for the whole over the next 12 months, you know what I'm saying? So I just feel for him, my uncle Lamek, just the whole family, man. It's a major loss. So
RIP.
We celebrate life, bro.
You gotta celebrate life, you know what I'm saying? So what was something that has made you happy this week?
Something that made me happy this week, you know, a lot of things made me happy.
So you know what's made me happy, bro? Is the fact that, like, I don't have to rely on anything to, like, schedule content for clients now. You know what I'm saying?
On a personal note, what made you happy? Like,
on a personal note, what's made me happy?
It's a big day for you today, too, right? It's Monday. Do you want to open that up for the audience to know about what?
Sure. You know, it's my anniversary, my 6th year anniversary.
6th year's anniversary.
You know what I'm saying? Is this weekend. Monday is the actual day. This weekend is the day. So today I'm taking some time out. I'm not working. Once I get home, you know, I'm just going to clean the crib, hang out with the girl. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out, like, what gift to give. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm kind of at right now, trying to find, like, a...
See, when you've been gifting so many things for anniversaries, it's like, an anniversary is not a joke thing. You know what I'm saying? For it's sure. Like, you can't. How do you outdo yourself every single year?
Yeah, yeah, most right? definitely.
How do you keep that flame, like, anniversary, like, it's better than the last one, and it's not repetitive. It's
shout
not
out to like got the, all the men that have been in relationships for like 20 plus years.
Relationships five, are working, plus, man, you know, trust.
Like after you give someone a card for the 10th year, like, what are you supposed to write in that card that's different from the last one?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to actually showcase your feelings and mm-hmm. and what I hate about those, like, I was talking to you about this earlier. When it comes to cards, like this, being able to on a whim, this like, all right, here's all my feelings over the last yes. 2 years, and yes. just put them right into a card for you to give to that person. It feels forced,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Man, I also like in my previous relationship, you know, it was a very loving relationship, and one thing that I always did is I used to write notes for her. Every time, like, I leave her place, and, you know, it's it taught me how to really reappreciate someone again and again and again, right? Because each day is like a different situation, and each day is a whole, that person is growing as well, the same way you are growing. So I think in moments like this, it's time to dig in into, like, what more do I really want to share with you, and what more do I want to say? I think the thing is, you might think you're sounding redundant, but those words of affirmation again never go out of style.
Yeah, you know? yeah.
It's just a finding way to like craft that message back and repackaging it so it's like a breath of fresh air again.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Find like a way to use synonyms. You know,
yes.
To create the same feeling in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough, man. But you know, no, it's not tough. I'm not gonna say it's tough, but it's an exercise. You gotta figure exactly. out yeah. how to maneuver consistently. You know. So yeah, it's an interesting thing to be in now at this stage of my life. So, you know,
6 years, man.
6 years
that's
in.
That's a big run.
It's a big run. It's a big run. So now it's time to you know, move on to other stages and figure life out. So that's what's up with me. You mm-hmm. know, I'm working on getting a way for other marketers to get jobs. That's one thing I was telling you about that. If anyone is a marketer right now and listening to the pod, hit me up. I might have a solution for you. Right now I'm working on a real cool project where people that are in PR, you know, Facebook ads, Pinterest ads, any type of ads, influencer marketing, you know, I'm trying to make a hub for people that are Black trying to get into the space to have access into it, because a lot of these tech companies want to get in there. Mm-hmm. A lot of these product companies that are old in Canada want to get in there, and they want to access talent, but there's no way to actually do it. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's one thing I'm really, you know, excited to do, because mm-hmm. it makes me, you know, passionate. Because growing up, there was no lane, there was no access to it. I had to freestyle and figure mm-hmm. it out. Mm-hmm. You know, so if I can create that path so people can walk through that. That would be great.
So what you're trying to do is you're trying to build something for Black marketers and creators to have access to, not access, but you're trying to create a pool where you can share resources together of the next opportunities.
Exactly. Training, mm-hmm. jobs, leads for agencies. That's the plan.
Yeah.
That's the plan. So, yeah, feel free to DM me, y'all. It's going to be a great, exciting 2022. So I'm really excited about that.
When you think about this initiative, Al, like when you think of what it could be, what do you see when you close your eyes and you think about building this thing out? Like, what does success look like for you with this hub?
Honestly, it's with me not in it.
It's you with not in it.
Not in it. You know, it's yeah. me having it there where people can go, that graduate from Ryerson, that graduate from Western, that's like, all right, I want to get into marketing like Gary Vee. I want to be a Black Gary Vee. I want to mm-hmm. start at the bottom. Yo, let me go to this site and tap in and get a job at Hootsuite doing yeah. marketing and learn how to, you know, correctly run a team, work with the team before they go on their own path.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I kind of see it happening, where people are consistently going through that, or that girl who's working at a vet, or working with kids, for instance, or as a vet, and wants to get into marketing. It's like, yo, how do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yo, I can just go through here, maybe pay $50, mm-hmm. go through there, yo, get a job that pays you $50,000. So it's mm-hmm. like an amazing investment mm-hmm. to, you know, to do it. So that's kind of where I see it. You know, partnering with Google, Facebook, Twitter to start having training so people can literally, might not even have to go to college. Mm-hmm. Just be like, yo, let me sign up for this. Get some training with Google and Facebook that's like pennies on the dollar and get a job that pays me six figures. Like, yeah. That would be crazy. Like, imagine what that would do to the economy. Imagine that would do for people in Malvern and Jane Strip, and that would change. And the thing is, too, is that, you know, everything we do is marketing. Mm-hmm. You know, like everything we learn about, there's a reason why girls want wedding rings, they want diamond rings. There's a reason why
De Beers, they made that whole campaign. Like,
exactly. There's crazy. A reason why we wear gym clothes.
Yeah.
There's a reason why we do all that. And it's because of the images that we put in front of ourselves, mm-hmm. you know? So if we change the people that are putting the images in front of ourselves, we're changing how people perceive themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot bigger than us. So that's why I'm passionate about that. Because I think it changes the dynamic. If you think about it, when racism was at its forefront, mm-hmm. the people that were putting the images were all white. Mm. The more people got into those spaces to change the narrative of what's going in front of us, the more the media started to change. Mm-hmm. So the more we get in front of the media, or I guess in front of the desk, at the table, mm-hmm. the less those Kendall Jenner, is it Kendall Jenner that had that Pepsi commercial?
Yeah, Kendall Jenner, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, less of those tasteless. Is going to happen. There's less of those crazy situations are going to happen. There's going to be actual quality content going out there that'll change how society moves. Mm-hmm. So,
bro, it's even, I don't know if you've seen this of late, but there is a fetus now of a black woman.
Yeah, I saw that. That went viral. Yeah.
And when you're talking about this, I'm thinking about moments like that. Historically, for hundreds of years, like, I don't say, like, maybe the past 150 years, we've always seen when a baby is in a woman's tomb, it's
a white baby,
right? So imagine you as a black woman and a black dad, you're about to have a family, like all the images you're seeing, it's this outlier of like a Caucasian woman, but now you're actually seeing a black baby. That was like very, you know, and the thing is, even for me, I don't really realize how psychologically I've been messed up to think of, when I think of a baby in like a fetus, whatever, I'm picturing that. I've never even stopped to say, why can we have like a black version of that? Why can we have like an Indian or whatever version of like a woman carrying a child and they look like that's the child that they're carrying, right? And I think what you're trying to do with this is debunk all that whole thing and actually, hey, let's actually add some more flavor in here. Let's add some new perspectives that could be different, that can impact everyone at the same level that this white version of it is been portrayed to us for all these years. So it's moments like that, and I don't even realize what other things, until I see another version, am I gonna stop and say, yo, I've never even stopped to say, why can we do this differently? Yeah. I've just accepted it.
Yeah. You know what, when you think about like your brought up, see, like I was telling you the other day, I was a frequent visitor of the Science Center. Mm-hmm. In the Science Center, almost all the models there are white. You know,
word.
When you go to see a child being born, it's a white mom that you're seeing. Mm-hmm. You're not really seeing the variations among a diverse society. It's mm-hmm. all, you know, it was built for it. The Band-Aid was originally white. Mm-hmm. Now they have colors. Mm-hmm. You know, but that needs to happen across the spectrum. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? So yeah, bro. So shout out to this project once again. Hit me up, y'all. And speaking of
what's
work,
the project called? Just one more time. Do you have a name yet?
There's a name. So right now it's called Black Marketers. Blackmarketers.org. So shout out to the whole team at Blackmarketers.org.
Yeah.
And it's called Black Market Association of America, and we're bringing that to Canada. Mm. So that's really exciting.
Yeah, big ups to you, bro. That's major.
Word.
Yeah.
So speaking of work, did you hear about this new law that just came out?
Which law?
Bro, so the law is called the disconnect law. Basically, it's really creating an atmosphere where people can't come to you once you're...
The disconnect law.
Yeah.
I love it.
So here's the link right here. The article is from BlogTO. It's now officially illegal in Ontario for your boss to bug you after work hours.
Yo, we need this.
Oh, you be getting bugged?
Like, it's not even getting bugged. Just the idea of, like, someone sending you a Slack notification after work hours, mm-hmm. especially since I have a Slack on my phone. And we use Slack for whatever, you know, what we do with Hustle Over Everything. So I have two workspaces tied to, like, my phone. So I hear, like, a bing, 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 bing. I'm watching the Raps game. I'm here, bing. And I'm like, okay. Please be Alex, because I don't want anyone from work like messaging me about like, yeah. Hey Owen, like, can you know for the meeting, we can, like, can you like send me this real quick? I'm like,
oh man, word, I've been having Slackophobia, bro. Where I'm just like,
that Slack notification is the worst. Oh my god, it's anxiety the quick inducing. Pop up,
oh my gosh, it's like, what? What is this?
What is it?
Get off my phone right now.
Yeah, dog. Like I got hit up like last quarter about preparing for a meeting, like, hey, do y'all like preparation notes? I'm like, I'm here making dinner, I'm here like having a vibe, I've already had this where I'm work stressed the whole day, and I'm like being bugged after hours. It's just like we've lost boundaries with virtual working, virtual office stuff.
Yeah,
we feel like everything is just meshed into one, that we have total like, hey, like, we didn't
entitlement,
it's entitlement, bro. Right, at any time we can take a call with a client from a certain part of the world, right? Or they're in a different time zone. I have to work. I have to be in that meeting because they're at that time. But we have to remember, yo, you can say no. And I remember, shout out to my girl Rachel. She was telling me, like, hey Owen, like, you can like just push back and just say, hey, like, that's after my work hours. Let's actually find a different time to connect. It's actually like. But these are client stuff, right? So I'm like, you gotta like maybe find a different way to do it. But it's stuff like that that actually grinds my gears, bro. It's everything is now seeping. Like, how do you define work and personal in a virtual life?
That's the question.
So the question. What is this law, man? I'm really, you know, I don't even know what all it right, is.
So here's the measures of this law. Let's talk about it. So it requires employers with 25 or more employees to have a written policy about employees disconnecting from their job at the end of the workday to help employees spend more time with their families. Also, it bans the use of non-compete agreements. You got to talk about this part. It bans the use of non-compete agreements that prevent people from exploring other work opportunities in order to make it easier for workers to advance in their careers. That's big. We got to talk about that in a quick second. But let's talk about the first one and then get to the second. So once again, it requires employers of 25 or more employees to have a written policy that you can't talk to them after certain hours. Because the thing is, it's true. Like, you know, I'm with my kids babysitting, not babysitting, but, you know, taking care of my kids at 8 p.m., trying to wash them up, get them ready for bed. And I'm hitting their messages on Slack. People feel like they have entitlement to you because of the new virtual world. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy. And speaking of which, I have a quick clip I want to play. Shout out to Chid, a listener. You know, she actually came to our 100 episode party and event, and she's been a big listener, so I really appreciate her. And the podcast she has as well is great. It's called But What Do I Know podcast. So shout out to that, and go check her out on all streaming platforms.
So I was listening to your episode to earlier her. Today cool. on, I can't remember the title, but it was the episode where you guys were talking about remote work, and you guys... Well, more Owen seemed to really like be against remote work. And I just want to offer that some stats have come out saying that remote work is actually better suited for women of color, especially Black women, because I don't have to worry about doing my hair, wearing a weave, or wearing braids in the office. I do not like the concept of a manager walking around monitoring me. And as someone who's also building something on the side, I can take meetings, do my lunch break, do my own thing, whether it's my podcast or my media brand, and I can run errands and still get my work done. So it makes me feel like I have autonomy over my life versus having to go into the office every day. So I thought I would share that, but great episode. Thanks.
All right.
Right from the listener,
bro. So by the way, before you answer that, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be featured on the podcast, send us a DM, a voice note to 24/7 Hustle. All you gotta do is type in 247. It comes right up, and you can send us a DM on your thoughts of a podcast episode, and we'll feature it. We'll play it. Mm-hmm. All right.
So, ask me the question.
What did you think of her voice note?
First and foremost, Thank you so much for sending a voice note. Like, that is, it warms my heart to hear people listen to the episode, have a thought, and actually take action to do it.
For sure. Y'all be some ninja watchers. Shout out to, actually, I don't know if I'm going to shout them out. You're going to talk about Professor Fit in a second. Yeah. But shout out to the ninja watchers. I appreciate you listening. But yo, we want to hear from you, eh? We don't know what's quality unless y'all talk to us. So let us know your thoughts. Go ahead.
We know you're listening, but we can't see who is listening, right? It's just like, hey, we got these many plays, but who are those ears listening to the show? So please send us a DM. Just say, hey, guys, great show. Really loved it. It does wonders because you're working here. You're putting out content. We just like some feedback, you know, what you liked, what we can improve upon. If you disagree with us, let us know. Back to Buick. She's completely right. Everything she said, her as a woman of color, her as a black woman. I have three sisters. I know the work it takes to put up hair, everything, get ready, go, and et cetera, and everything of a manager walking around. I benefit from all those things too, right? From what we do. I could call you any second and be like, hey, bro, like, let's hop on this call real quick and connect up about this. So where I disagree with her is the fact that I personally enjoy a team camaraderie. I find myself in meetings where I'm meeting people for the first time ever, or it's with my team, and I'm a person who is like way more interactive in person than I am on a Zoom call. So whenever I'm on a Zoom call, I feel like this is your meeting, you take control of it. And whenever you're talking in a Zoom meeting, it's, I'm waiting for you to finish talking, then I talk, and then I finish talking, and then I talk. It's just like, we all can't talk at the same time, but there's like a pressure to feel as if you got to interact, right? So you're not just sitting there in your square, just like looking dormant. You know what I mean? So I personally want to go in the office just so I could dap people. I can meet them in person. I can feel as if I'm being friendly with them, that we're actually interacting, because I feel like sometimes I get a bad rap because I'm quiet in meetings, but I'm actually just listening. You get me? Mm-hmm. I'm just listening. I'm just paying attention. And the thing is, bro, I feel like this pressure to talk in a meeting to feel as if you contributed to the meeting. We got to debunk this whole thing where you have to feel as if there's pressure to talk. But sometimes you just don't have anything of value to add. So why am I going to open my mouth and just say something? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, and don't be the person that just repeats other people.
Repeats other people. I'm recycling. Yeah, I totally agree with like whatever. I feel like a fraud when I say that stuff. I'm like, man, I'm just taking your words and repackaging and remixing it. It sounds like mine.
Yeah.
So that's why I disagree. I think especially when you live alone, man, and you're doing the same thing over and over, I want to meet you in person. I want to go work with you in person. That's my thing. I love camaraderie, bro. I'm a way better person in person.
To be honest, I think the real like goal is a mix. You know, like,
it's a hybrid.
I think that's like the goal we should work towards as a society, where twice a week, maybe once a week, we actually go into the office and still have those team building exercises, or be able to walk to that person and send a message to that person directly. It's so much more efficient when you can walk up and be, hey, how you doing? What are you working on? Mm-hmm. You're working on this? Okay, great. I need to get this X done. Can we negotiate a time to get it done? Mm-hmm. We're sending the times over on Slack, like, and then some delays happen. They get all the things on their books. So they have to like, you know, prioritize. It's a whole...
And even people at work, man, they feel like they have control over your calendar. Hey, I just booked some time with you at so-and-so, and they booked the meeting at like 4:45 p.m.
Yeah, that's disrespect. Don't disrespect my calendar.
Exactly.
Don't disrespect my calendar, bro, and put a meeting at 4:45.
You as a marketer, right? You have your calendar easily accessible, mm-hmm. right? Imagine someone books a meeting, and I know you, like, you have your own mm-hmm. calendar. It's not like a 9-to-5 grind you have. But someone books a meeting with you at the last hour of your work hours to talk to you, and you're just about to exit the room and whatever. How's that gonna make you feel?
Feel annoyed.
Feel annoyed.
Disrespected.
Disrespected.
If you message somebody at 4:45, you are disrespecting their calendar.
Yes. But this goes to ask you, Doug. You are someone who wants to book, like, hey, book a discovery call with me. You know what I mean? do you want them to tell you first? We gotta talk about this whole thing. Hey, here's my Calendly link. We need etiquette.
Oh, what's Calendly etiquette?
What's Calendly etiquette?
All right.
Eh? What is that?
All right. So I think if you're seeing someone on Calendly and you're trying to get that thing booked, this is why we need a Calendly sponsorship or HubSpot, you know, so no free promo. Mm-hmm. Then you could, one, find a time that's in the middle of the day. That's what I usually go over. 2 or 3 p.m. is my sweet spot usually. If it's by the end and it's a discovery call, it's different because it's 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. If it's like a major meeting, then it's like at half an hour at the end of the day. It's like, mm-hmm. come on, man. My brain's fried. Yeah. I know it's the end of the day. I like morning-ish to afternoon. 11 a.m. is the time I usually like for meetings. Unless everyone else's schedule is booked, then make it earlier. I'd rather an earlier long meeting than a late meeting, for sure, without a doubt. Yeah. Discovery calls is different because it's like
we're getting to know each other.
Yeah, you can vibe. So yeah, I definitely feel like you can do a discovery call later in the, if you want to be respectful, mm-hmm. at max later in the evening. But like a discovery call or a long call, pardon me, at night.
That's haram, bro.
Yeah. Especially for working 9 to 5.
Yeah, I don't like taking meetings on a Monday morning at all. Monday mornings, when I come to work on a Monday, do not talk to me.
My Mondays are blocked off.
Your Mondays are blocked off. My Mondays are blocked off. It's just like, even though you don't get Monday scaries like I do, like going to work, because it's like you're waking up and you're doing your own grind. Do you get Monday scaries?
A little bit, because I have to balance multiple things. Because I'm editing the podcast as well for uploading. Yes. And I'm doing the agency stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like a combination of like, I hope I don't get overwhelmed. So that's what blocked off my Monday. Mm. So no one can book a meeting at that time. Mm-hmm. So I'm not like overwhelmed between editing the pod, posting it, responding to emails, mm-hmm. and like fixing campaigns and managing stakeholders.
We need a booking meeting etiquette list. Maybe we can write an article or something like that.
Maybe you can do like a little article, like a Instagram post, YouTube video.
YouTube video.
Word. Speaking of it, yo, shout out to us, YouTube. Shout out to YouTube. Look at us. Shout out to the pairs.
Talk to me.
Yo, y'all, make sure y'all following us on YouTube.
Yes.
You know, we're trying to build up our YouTube. Right now, we're at 200 subscribers.
205
subscribers. Yes. Trying to get to 1,000. You know, that's like an end of the year goal.
No. I said for myself, like, 1st of March.
1st of March. First of quarter March. Goal.
Exactly.
First quarter goal to 1,000 subs. That's the goal. First quarter, 1,000 subs. Right now, we're a quarter of the way there, a little bit less.
Bro, I 20%. Feel like, I feel momentum when we put videos out. Like, I'm seeing the views go up.
Slowly but steadily.
Like, especially the shorts, they actually do numbers.
Yeah. Right? Shorts are doing better on YouTube than it is on TikTok, actually.
Exactly. TikTok, bro. I think maybe we need to restart our TikTok account. I don't know what it is, but I was like, you know what? These clips are good clips. What are we not doing that is... We need to assess this later on.
We need to assess it later on, right?
So I was reading like an article on LinkedIn and it says if your TikTok is averaging some numbers like in the hundreds, 200s, it's the algorithm has pushed you out and it has told you that your content might not be suitable enough. So the best thing to do is start your content from scratch. I was like, I don't know if I want to do that or start your account from scratch, start a whole new account. Anyways,
speaking of TikTok though, you see what Instagram is doing?
What is Instagram?
Instagram has like this continuing to copy. So now they've added real comments where you can respond to a comment with a video. Yeah, exactly. That's cool. As well, you can one schedule stories. Well, let me be clear. You can schedule Facebook stories on Creator Studio, which is interesting. But like, if your Onyx is on Facebook, then you can schedule stories to actually shop on Facebook, which is cool. But soon enough, Creator Studio will have scheduling for Instagram stories, so you can shop and create links consistently and schedule them out for Instagram stories, which is big. Mm-hmm. And that's gonna wipe the hell out of later. Later, I think, is on this like last leg.
I've see been, you later.
We're talking about dad jokes? Oh my God. Oh my Lord.
How's it going there, partner?
How's it going there, bud?
How's it going there, bat? Yeah, when I call you bud, you always kind of like just like look at me and you're just like, yo, bat, what are you doing? thanks, bud.
That's exactly how I look at you, bro.
Bro, that's a Sarnia and me coming out.
What is one of the corporate lingos that people call you that's just like, oh my God?
Pal. They call me pal.
Pal.
Pal. Lord. I remember I was working at Alita, and we were like about to close a deal with HBO, right? And on Salesforce, we had duplicate accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So in one account, HBO showed that there's no open opportunity. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, rah, like, oh yeah, we've had conversations with this guy before. Let me actually start prospecting into him. So I started sending him like, putting him in a cadence, at a sales cadence. So a sales cadence is something that you have about like 15 touch points. You can add an email, a LinkedIn post, send them value. You can send them a follow-up video, a Vidyard video. And I start prospecting to this guy. So as I'm prospecting into him, one of the account executives in our New York office messages me, geez, I've never spoken to her before. She's like, I get a Slack notification. I hear, tsh! And I'm like, oh my God, like who's messaging me now? Leave me alone. Like, I don't want to talk to anyone. And I open the message and it's in all caps. He's like, Owen! Like 6 exclamation marks. What the hell are you doing? I'm like, and then I'm just like, I see her typing. You know, it's like so-and-so's typing.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm like, he's like, can you please stop prospecting into HBO? We have a current deal going on right now and you're about to mess it up. And dog, I got in so much shit for that. I had no clue. And then my manager is like, hey, Owen, like, what do you, she's cause not their cheese that hurt. But she doesn't really understand what happened. So the VP messages me on the side. It's just like, hey, Owen, she's tried calling me, but I missed his call. And he's like, hey there, pal. Like, no, it's just like, hey, no, this is what he said. He's just like, hey, we have a deal with HBO. And, you know, like, I see you've been sending him messages and everything. And he's asking, hey, has he opened any of the emails or anything like that? I'm like, nah, nothing's going on. You know, I'm like, hey, I'm so sorry this is happening. I'm like, so, because this is a $700,000 deal that I was about to mess up for the company.
But how would that mess it up, though, really? Do you think that, like, that's the thing. Like, if
overreacting.
Yeah, overreacting.
Overreacting, you know, for that, no reason.
Yeah, like, all right. So if someone else from the team reaches out, like, oh, and I'm already talking to him, yeah. Done.
Just even the guy, even the guy just says, hey, like, one of your people is still like prospecting into me. I don't know if they like, I'm sure he's not gonna see my email
and be like, oh my God, like another email from the company. Close the whole deal. Throw them out. Come on, son.
And that's
come on,
man. And then that's when he's just like, you gotta do your homework there, pal. And I just saw the word pal and I was just like, bruh.
No, he's trying to shit on you. Yeah,
he's trying to shit on me.
Yeah,
bro.
For sure.
And that's just the culture of the company, bro.
Yeah, that's definitely what they call it. White. Have you heard of WAVE?
WAVE? What's WAVE?
White American Vernacular English.
No.
So an AAVE is African American Vernacular English. This is a whole thing. You need to go. I'm gonna show you this on TikTok when we're done. This is like, a whole thing.
Your homework,
like,
there, pal.
Yeah. Oh
my God.
That's you should have shit on you in WAVE for sure, for sure. Speaking of people shitting on people, yo, Fresh and Fit, dog.
Fresh and Fitty. Bro, these guys are always in the news for...
Maybe it's a marketing plan.
But bro, how's your marketing plan as you're marketing yourself as like alpha males and these like guys who are helping guys, but you're always trying to find a way to shit on another creator. You have a feminine energy, the way you're going about your business. I just don't respect them for what they do. I'm like, yo, this is what you guys preach, but you're complete opposite of what you guys talk about.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, so for people who don't know, just quickly get you updated. Fresh and Fit is a YouTube channel mm-hmm. that talks about Red Pill or, you know.
Talk to them first what the hell Red Pill is.
Red Pill.
What is the official Red Pill? Red Pill? Blue, what are you?
What am I?
Yeah.
Neither. I don't believe in none of that shit.
Because the Red Pill's from the Matrix.
Yeah, Red Pill's from the... All right, so Red Pill's from the Matrix, where they think there's Blue Pill and Red Pill. So Blue Pill's people who are afraid, who are less or more beta, Beta. Shout out to Alvin and Freeze, yo. Quality content. Beta. All right. And Red Pill essentially is just showing that they are masculine aware, is what some of the terminology, where they believe certain ideologies that come with being a Red Pillar. You know? So I guess that is it in summation. Feel free to look it up yourself. I'm just freestyling here. So that's them. And they have content where they bring women on to talk to them about their life goals when it comes to partners. And this is in Miami, so a lot of the women are off the elk of OnlyFans, off the elk of, you know, looking for clout, looking for fame. You know, a lot of somewhat gold diggers. Not the, you know, high society woman that a lot of us aspire to have.
Like the one you want to actually wife and yourself marrying, having kids.
For sure. They do bring they do bring a few, you know, here and there. But the entertainment comes from the woman that we'd classify as bimbos coming on and then them dunking on them with facts.
They have the appearance of what you call a bimbo. And not to say that they are, but just the...
The appearance, you know, the aesthetic, all that, you know.
And even when they're talking, they don't really add much value to the show. They're just there as a way to attract a male audience. They're like, who are all these attractive women all in one panel? And there's a few guys talking to them. I want to hear what this is. So that's their brand.
Exactly. And they try to balance it out by having people who are off value. Like they have had EYL on, Mike Rashid. Andrew Tate,
Kevin Samuels,
Alvin Preach, which turned
academics.
Out academics. I don't know if you call academics a man of value.
No, academics is very strategic. I've been
super strategic.
I've been watching the way he does. The way he got to where he is today wasn't by accident.
Oh, for sure not.
No, like the way he actually creates shock value is something that should be studied.
It's academics.
Yeah.
Shout out to academics, man. Shout out to the he's like the only male Jamaican content creator that's popped.
Jamaican?
He's Jamaican, you know.
So we just gotta wait for Senior Gumboy to pop then.
Word. So I just Senior Gumboy. Well, Senior Gumboy's out here doing his thing, but I don't know if he runs in that internet circle.
True. You know? Into that whole like entertainment, the industry stuff.
Exactly. Word, exactly. Word. I don't know if he's trying to be in Miami, be interviewed by them. But shout out to Senior Gumboy.
Yep.
So. Let's get to the meat and potatoes. So essentially what happened is him and Abba and Preach, another YouTube channel with more subscribers who we just shouted out, were in, I guess, a bit of a beef, in a YouTube beef, you know. And what's happening is once Abba exposed Fresh and Fit for being fraudulent, they got into a beef and a lot of accounts started chiming in and toppling on. So there is literally a wave of YouTubers calling out Fresh and Fit for being fraudulent, right? And now Fresh and Fit is trying to maintain their image somewhat, or whatever's left of it.
Trying to salvage it.
Trying to salvage their image and copyright strike people so they can no longer speak about them and get channels removed. Literally taking down businesses because they are talking about their content. And their way of doing it is by using content copyrights, right? But what's happening is that in YouTube, as we all know, we all watch content that has fair use in it. People reacting to it. This is used by some of the biggest YouTubers in the world. Like MrBeast has a reaction channel. Jake Paul has a reaction channel. Or Logan Paul, I think it is actually, not Jake Paul, has a reaction channel. And reactions are very, you know, it's a part of the ethos of YouTube right now. So for them to use this is literally going against the ethos to try and get people discredited and kicked off the platform and literally have their livelihoods taken from them, which is crazy and goes against what we stand for as entrepreneurs. So what do you think about this, bro? Talk to me.
After Abba and Preach exposed Fresh and Fit for the first time ever, because I was a fan of them, like just for their entertainment value, like just hearing them talk and whatever. It was good background content as I'm cooking, as I'm whatever, but I'm not gonna sit there like listen to every word. Like as if it's the gospel, as if I'm getting something. It's just like, hey, Fresh and Fit is there. We're cooking. We're having drinks. That's how I rated them. And they were doing super well at that position.
Entertainment.
But the more I learned about who they are, and I was like, who are these guys? Why are they popping up on my channel? You know, they just came in like my stratosphere like this year, early this year. Like, oh, Fresh and Fit. Then they got, you know, all these other people I look up to. I'm like, okay, let me take them serious. But the more people start talking about how they move and like they got exposed, my respect went down the drain and I unsubscribed. Yeah. So now Abba and Preach.
Let's quickly talk about why you lose respect for them. Because of their course, right?
Not their course. It's just the way they handled that whole thing with Abba and Preach.
Oh, that too.
Calling Preach's wife ugly, by saying, hey, let's fight, them backing out of the fight when they call the fight. The way they were posturing as if it's like, we are better than you guys and whatever. It's not a competition. Right, there's enough space for everyone to have subscribers, because Abba has a million doesn't mean you can't have, like, you're taken away from, you know, he's taken away from your subscribers. No, it's not a competition. So the way they went about that and the way they showcased that, they're making monkey noises and like,
yeah, whatever. They're trying to call Preach a baboon
and everything like that. That just was like, that was horrible. Mm-hmm. That was like, man, hey, man, you guys are hustlers. You're building, you've created a platform. I can't take that away from you. But the way that you are doing this right now, as a man to man, I just can't respect that. So that's why I completely stopped listening to them. Mm-hmm. But hey, man, all the best to you and what you're trying to do.
Most definitely.
So my thoughts on this whole thing, them copywriting people, they've done it themselves too. They've reacted to other people's content all the time. If you look at Fit, yeah, like, let's react to this. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so we have a video here. Like, hey, can you put it up? Yeah, let's react to this. All the time. So why is it now that you're benefiting from the reaction? Like, there's so many things that all these other creators can come and say, hey, you are doing that and we're copywriting, striking you. You know why they're doing this, man? As Abba said it, is because they're trying to like hurt everyone's pockets, because they're feeling as if like, hey, we're being exposed
and hurting their pockets.
Yeah. I just don't rate it.
Word. You know what's crazy? The gold, like they have gold right there sitting right in front of them. And they're not using it.
What is that gold?
They could easily create a course on teaching people how to be YouTubers. It's literally right there. It's literally, it's like, so right there. If they were like, all right, so we're having a course on how you got here.
Man, that's brilliant.
Bro. That's
brilliant.
Yo, they have all the gold, all the, right there. Literally, they're sitting there. And they're selling courses on how to have a good IG account. It's like, what? Bro,
that is what people need. People want to learn how to be YouTubers.
And how they did it, because their setup looks fire.
So dope. So freaking mint. If they want to salvage their image, if they want to come back,
that's all they got to do. Yeah.
Hey, we want to really help. We want to help other content creators. And you can take this L and say, this is what not to do. This is what we learned. If you're looking to create, here's some positives from this. Here's some negatives of this. But we'll recommend not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a way to come back. Like, from the whole.
Dog, we're literally giving them a free consulting session right now. Listen, if Fresh and Fit is listening right now, that boom, change the course from.
Need to YouTube this clip.
Right? Oh, yeah, for sure. If Fresh and Fit is listening right now, boom, change the course from YouTube. I mean, from IG on, what was it? DMs on demand to hot. Yeah, DMs on demand is crazy. That's crazy.
Bro, you know the thing is, they talk about how you need, as a guy, you need your IG to really be out here.
And you don't.
You don't need IG, man. I get IG is, I was looking at IG, you know how we were like on IG, I was looking at the other day, bro, that's why I'm posting shit about us, like, I don't care. Like, I'm like, and I saw the way you post, you don't really curate images and whatever, you're like, kind of like, screenshot, post that, that's how you see your IG, man, and I really respect that. It's just like, I'll post a pic, but you don't need to overthink it, and I think a lot of people overthink Instagram all the time. You don't need to, like, create a highlight spot of your life. show the real you. Just post.
Authenticity.
Authenticity, bro. Man, on the reels, man, I get like 8 likes. I'm like, yes.
Don't kill me.
Man, those days I used to like wanna, the days I used to get only 100 likes, I'll be cheesed.
Where?
But who cares, man? Who cares, man?
Who honestly cares? But nah, yeah. What we were saying, if they were to change their course from DMs on demand to how to build a YouTube business, they would kill it. They would kill it. For one, and the equipment they use and how Fresh networks, how Walter networks, because he's been killing on the network game. He could easily have a course, ebook, something like that on how to network properly, because whatever he's doing is working amazing right now. Networking, man. We're trending, man. Shout out to Walter, man. We just joking. Don't copyright our shit. Yeah. We just joking. But yo, hopefully that you got some value from that. We ain't here to shit on you. We're not trying to shit on you.
Respects to them building a YouTube channel.
Yeah, man. Look at us. Admirable. We have like 200. We just said we're on our way to 1,000. We're not even monetized yet, dog.
They're back to 400K subs.
500K.
They're at 500K.
They're at 500K
subs. That's talent.
You can't shit on that. Word, man. So let's keep it pushing. Yo, what's your thoughts on the Omarion variant now? You know?
Bro, I don't know how Twitter comes up with this stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Twitter. Yeah. Omnichannel.
I don't have no thoughts on it. I just find it hilarious, bro.
Yeah. The only thing that's concerning me is what's going to come from it, you know? Because Pfizer's already like prepping to like, yeah, all you gotta take is 2 more shots and you'll be straight.
Do you think this is a strategy?
You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I have no idea, man. But yo, we're higher hour deep.
We're an hour deep. Are you serious?
Yeah, bro. We're an hour deep. This one flew by, didn't it? Most definitely, man. But we covered a lot. We've covered the right to disconnect. The Fresh and Fit debacle.
Fresh and Fitty.
We covered our own personal topics. Some of the people that we didn't get to the details of the Fresh and Fit actually. We didn't even go there. So they try to copyright people, mm-hmm. right? They sent strikes, or basically the way it happens on YouTube is that at first you put a copyright claim on somebody. And then YouTube reviews it, and if they deem it necessary, then they put a strike on your account, and 3 strikes are out.
So you lose your platform.
You lose your whole platform.
No more. So you have 600, 800K subs. You're done. You're
gone. Exactly. And that's what we were saying. So we didn't get to meat and potatoes of that. Okay. So they sent copyright issues to Playback, Spencer Cornelia, Abba and Preach, Jamari. A whole bunch of YouTube content creators that have a lot of subscribers, mm-hmm. you know? And what happens, though, is that if they get caught using this as a way to get accounts taken down, their account could be terminated.
Forever. No more Fresh and Fit.
No more Fresh and Fit. So, Abba has a contact at YouTube because he has over 1 million subs. Like, they're out here.
They have a rep.
You know what I'm saying? They have a YouTube rep. You saw this video, right?
Yes.
So now, Abba has contacted his people, and they're fighting back to Preach It. Why do I keep doing this? Fresh and Fit's team, mm-hmm. and they have like 7 days to respond before they get their account taken down. Mm. So honestly, it's just like an L after L for these guys. They were trying to take money out of people's pockets. Now their account could be shut down. Trying to play games. So that's hilarious.
This goes back into 48 Laws of Power, man. A law that says, learn when to take a loss. And pretty much what they're doing is they're not being strategic with what they're doing. They're not really thinking this through.
So as we do that, Instagram is coming back into chronological order.
Yes, yeah,
which
that,
is big. Which
I saw
is big.
I saw you like that on LinkedIn, I think.
Yeah. You know, the Adam Mosseri listened to me, bro. He listened to the pod and was like, you know what? Alex is right.
you've been calling a lot of things to fruition.
Really? I have to? Tell me about it.
Like, the whole thing, you called Spotify video way back. I think the first day we started podcasting, the first month, you're saying, yeah, how dope would it be if Spotify had video for podcasters?
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it. Did they say something about it? Or was that something you just called out? Because I just saw an ad on Spotify for Podcasters video.
It's out, and we're on it.
We're on it.
Yeah. We're on it. This podcast is on Spotify.
So it's on Spotify, bro. We're content creators.
Shout out to yo! If you listen to our channel on Spotify, I'm gonna put a poll in the comments. Let us know and just tap the poll just to let us know if you're actually checking in on Spotify. So I appreciate you.
All right, we just took a quick break, and now we're back.
Yeah, you and your sister have a lovely relationship, yo. Like, you and your siblings have a lovely relationship, yo.
I love those, you know, my saying? Angels, man, you know?
Those are your angels. That, you're the only sibling I've ever heard talk so positively about your siblings, bro.
Oh, man, they're great.
I don't know. What brings y'all together?
I'm just big bro. You know what I'm saying? I'm just big bro. Like, we have respect. Mm-hmm. I respect them. They respect me. And I've always, like, protected them as we're growing up, so... That respect.
How'd you protect them? Like,
just always like overlooking them, like making sure they're good, checking up on them. Like, yo, like, do you need help with your homework? Do you need anything? Do you want me to check your drive there? Who, like, you want to talk about? You know, I was never like a mean big brother. I never bullied them, or whenever they felt bad about themselves, like, I just always wanted to empower them because I was always very confident in myself and I wanted them to feel that. So me being happy, I was just like, I want my sisters to like become people too.
Have you ever like roughed up a boyfriend?
No.
Or like you know, like came at a boy and be like, yo,
you know what it is? Me, Carlton, my dad, they're surrounded by such positive male figures that they know what to look for in a boyfriend. So all the boyfriends they've had have been solid dudes. You know, even our parents love them. You know, oh man, we miss whatever. We miss who and so.
You're gonna put on names, yo, bro. You always have for names, bro.
Oh shit.
Oh, you're too open, bro. Oh my gosh, but it's a good thing and it's a bad thing because the audience will love it. Yeah. But I don't know if they're gonna like, hey, I wanna block out that name. Yeah. I got you, like, Katura. I got you. The name's already blocked.
But you know, the thing is, it's the first name, man. You know, so like, how many more names of that can you find?
Honestly, like, it's a both thing. If someone's stalking them, and the people in there are stalky, bro.
Word.
People will find shit. People will find shit
about your life
for
like that.
For sure. And you didn't know if she wanted that to be out or not. You know? So that's another thing too. And he could have someone that's in his circle be like, yo, you dated, and put two and two together, you know? So you never know. It's always better to be safe than sorry. You know, but I got the list up here though.
Use the surrender tactic. Don't fight until the bitter end, but surrender and regroup. That's what Fresh and Fit are not doing. Yeah. They need to surrender.
Surrender and regroup. Facts. Yeah. Especially how they tried to put copyright on the apology response that Auburn preached it. That was just like, come on, son. Really, dog? Really? Oh, man.
These guys are not alpha. They're... Beta.
Oh, dog, man.
I need to bring that beta video for you, man. The original guy.
All right.
The original guy.
But yo, let's work towards wrapping up, man. Y'all, I appreciate y'all rocking with us for an hour. You know what I'm saying? If you're rocking with us, let us know. Send us a DM saying, yo, I rocked the pod. I was in it an hour in. Never know, I might be swinging a little gift or something. Just for the rocking with us this time. All right. Let's wrap it up, bro. What you got?
Bro, like, I just want to play this thing later.
All right.
It's Jesse Lee Peterson.
A nurse? Wait. I am a nurse.
A nurse?
Yes.
Beta!
Omar, are you the head of your wife? I like to think that we're equal.
Are you the head? Beta!
I'm an alpha.
Not if you think you and your wife are equal. Beta!
Oh, because I tell you why.
Beta!
And my stepmom thought I was getting an attitude, and she got really mad that I said that to her. And so not even like 2 minutes later, my dad called me.
Beta!
I told my dad.
This be calling out beta on everybody.
The way he just sits there, just like, beta. Beta.
Yo, you get a Rodecaster Pro, we need to have that as a button. Just beta. To be like, beta. Facts, bro.
Yo, all right, ladies and gentlemen. Beta days, man. You know, when your startup goes from, it's the beta product, and then the alpha. Then the alpha one.
Facts.
Word.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up the podcast. If you enjoyed it, make sure you hit a like, comment, or subscribe. Swing us a DM, let us know. Copy the link so people know that you're sharing it and it helps the algorithm out. Subscribe, all that good stuff. You know what to do. And that, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up. I'm Alex.
I'm Owen.
And health is what you can't control, so control your grind and control your life. Peace.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you so much for listening. The conversation continues on our Instagram at 247hustler. We post very frequently. And be sure to check out our merch at hustleovereverything.co. We have some amazing sweaters, hats, mugs, and a lot more. Lastly, our Proud to Pay program is linked in the description below. Thank you so much for your support. Talk to you next Monday. Peace.